Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. This is the show where we empathize with you, each other, and our guests. Welcome. My name is Aubrey.
And I'm Drew Clark.
This is what, episode 22?
22.
Huh. You know, we're going to have to bust out our cassettes for episode 25,
I think. That's right. We have only three more before we need to get those digitized.
We've been kind of talking about that for a while. I think that would be cool.
Hey, Aubrey.
Yeah.
How's your week been? How's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah?
Week's been busy. A lot of demands on my attention.
Hmm.
Yeah, just busy. Going 100 miles an hour every day, all day.
What are you doing?
Working? Fixing hot tubs and computers and editing audio files and practicing with my rock and roll band. And yeah, that was it. We went to that John Carpenter show.
That was
Friday.
Cool.
That was cool.
We have some footage, actually.
Yeah, that was really cool. That's about it. Well, how's your week?
You know, it was interesting. I actually have a very... I could do it in a garden update. I think that would be good. We could kind of wham all those together.
Okay. A gradient in a garden and
well,
everything?
No. Well, just a garden.
One moment, please.
One moment. Standing by.
Turn my volume down.
Garden update. Okay, so...
What do we got?
I got hired to work in someone else's garden. My garden was so cool that somebody else was like, yeah, I want to pay you to help set up my garden. I was like, yeah, you should do that. And then that's what we did. So for the last 3 days, I've been working. Actually, it's on the same street, but it's over the freeway. So it's in the rich part of the town. So like
the other side of the freeway.
Yeah. So freaking go cross the freeway and the walking bridge. And then get paid to help somebody make their garden way more sustainable. I'm like, okay, cool. So
people that you know or?
No, just Craigslist.
Oh, wow.
It was a Craigslist opportunity.
A post that you responded to?
I saw a post and I was like, you know, I could help this person out. And I responded and they were like, yeah, totally.
Huh.
It was cool. I felt really good because, and this is some, you know, internal empathy was, I was, she was very... thankful for my level of intelligence. You know, she took time to go like, wow, you're really smart. This is, I'm glad you're here, you know, and I felt really good about that. And that was cool.
Do you think that might be a possibility for entrepreneurship for you in the future? Maybe some of that 401k nest egg could go into garden consulting something?
You know, my partner's dad does that professionally. He has his own business. And yes, I think the answer is yes, because like, I could do that. I am doing it now. It's going well. You could pay me $20 an hour under the table and all. You know, it's okay.
It's acceptable.
It's acceptable.
$20. Except, yeah.
Yeah.
So, good for you, man. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I'm feeling good about that. So that's cool. And so my garden, I've also done a couple of cool things. Just mainly we added a bunch more lettuce. And now we eat every day out of the lettuce patch. And you can see it now. It's banging. It doesn't look like we're chomping on it, but we are every day.
Lechuga del Diablo?
Well, I wish. We had those before, but regular. The landlord pulled them out, man. I had 2 4-foot plants that were just lovely.
He noticed them and pulled them out?
Yeah. He felt scared about the man, and he tore them out of the ground. Instagram.
If you have your...
One solipsis on Instagram.
Sorry, could do that again?
No, one solipsis at Instagram or something like that.
If you have your, my name is Aubrey or something.
So many things to say right now.
My name is Aubrey.
Okay, I think it's time we introduce our guest.
We do have a special guest.
Before we do that, can I say it's actually called a Craig opportunity, not a Craigslist opportunity.
Okay, thank you. It's a Craig opportunity. Okay, everybody, we have a very special guest today, and I think it's time we introduce him, Lars Diaz of Suffocate.
Lars, welcome to the show.
You can't. Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy rock star, apparently very rich day.
Very busy and very rich.
So rich and busy, I appreciate your time.
It's like Kardashian rich.
Yeah.
It's like I got money like that.
You've got like VIP backstage.
Yeah, like I got 12 cars out front right now filled with bitches. You have no idea. They just follow me. It's not even mine. I don't own them.
The fluff girls are waiting.
They're just around there because I got that much money and you know, I'm that famous and everything.
Cool. Well, thanks for paying us to have you on the show.
No problem, guys.
So that's the garden update. That's really
Lechuga de Diablo too. That is the most badass name that might be the next album title.
Lechuga.
Everyone out there, Lechuga de Diablo might be dropping sometime later this year.
Cool. All right. We have an endorsement. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So garden update done. I have a question, Lars. Like we were hanging out the other night and we talked a little bit about the metal band professional industry.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I think that there's really a story there that's worth a little bit of airtime. And I'd like to grant you a little bit of space to start us out on this topic.
Okay.
Of just give us a couple of minutes, if you would, about first getting into it.
Repeat the question, please.
Okay, so what I'm hoping is that you can...
It's a thousand-part question.
What I'm hoping is that you could speak a little bit about is your coming into the professional industry as a metal musician, what you thought it was going to be, what it ended up being, and kind of where it is now.
Okay. Well, that is like you said, that is a thousand part question, but I could answer that in detail for you because, I would just like to talk on the subject, of course, but
cool.
Yeah. Well, I started out playing music like everyone else pretty much does start playing music. You just want to play. You love music. So
sounds
I started
familiar.
With my... It's weird, right? You know, you like playing music and then you start doing it. But I started doing it when I was probably like, you know... I started playing the drums when I was like 6 years old. But I started playing with like my friends for the first time when I was like around maybe 10 years old. And it was just a friend from down the street. And you know, we just did it for fun.
Isn't it always? You
know? I mean, like, who are you gonna play music with first? It's not like you're like, I'm gonna hit up AC/DC real quick and just see if they need a fucking drummer who's like 9 years old
or 10 years
old.
Young.
You're like, I don't know how to play anything really yet, but I just wanted to see
sick of the drums
how much you guys
10?
Would pay me to come and play your music.
I know I will be good at one point.
I'm not positive, but it's a possibility, so pay me. But you know, anyways, like,
were you super good at the drums at 10 years old?
For my age, I'm not going to lie, I was just, well, let's just put it this way. I was the white kid that wasn't as white as everyone else, I guess, because it was like, I, for some reason, just had rhythm. Everyone else kind of struggled, and I was like, okay, guys, come on, we're just bobbing our head to the beat here. What's the problem? So I was just the one guy bobbing my head on time. So in my group of friends or people that I knew, I was amazing. People were like, wow, he has rhythm. What is that? We don't know what that is. Excuse me, David. Yes, Bob, do you know what rhythm is? I'm like, nope. Definitely don't. I've never heard of the thing.
It's like that scene in The Jerk where he's like,
I don't know that movie. Yeah. No,
it reminds me of that.
Well, guess what? I don't know what that movie is. So this is awkward now.
Steve Martin.
I'm high, and I told you not to do this.
My point is that Steve Martin is funny.
I'm holding a bowl of weed.
Yeah.
Can't even say the name Steve Martin without making that really hilarious though, because I'm stoned.
Okay, so the media. So you start like anyone else. Then what?
So I started playing with my friend. We actually got signed to a random independent label when I was about 13 years old.
Wait, was this in California?
Yeah, and we played with bands that were like kind of like pop punk or punk bands. Oops, sorry, my bad. Dropped the lighter, guys. My bad. Sorry.
This in Oakland or?
Yeah, this was in Oakland. Like we were playing with bands like The Matches.
So you're from Oakland?
Well, I'm actually from Berkeley. I was the only one in the band when we started that was not from Oakland. So there was five members from Oakland and then Lars from Berkeley. I know it's awkward again.
I see. That's not awkward.
Oh, it's awkward. Berkeley is awkward as fuck.
You're making it awkward because you're high.
Oh, well, I told you guys the whole show is going to be like that. It's going to be one long awkward conversation.
Oh, it's called Talkward. Come on, guys.
Lechuga we should get Lars in Diablo. The video feed.
Would you? Oh. You guys have not been capturing this sexiness the whole entire time. Do you know how disappointed people? Okay. So we got signed. We started playing shows with bands that were actually pretty popular for the local scene, like The Matches, Local AM, Plain White Tees, bands like that. So I started out early. And basically my experience just from that first little, you know, period of time was that I could already tell like a lot of the people that were kind of in charge of trying to make things happen for a band were maybe not necessarily the most well-intentioned, I guess would be the best way to put it. Surprise. Pit of dragons with vipers and some sharks with laser beams on their head. Yes, possibly.
They're just in this pool together.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I didn't really process that at that time because I was young and just excited, you know, as anyone would be to be, you know, getting to play shows and, you know, like have a record label that's, you know, like having you record in a studio. You know, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing, you know. So anyways, skip ahead some years, different band, you know. It was probably the third band I was playing in. I was maybe around 16, 17.
Isn't it always?
Yeah, just, you know, everyone, 16, 17. It's like, boom, we're all on the same page.
Raise your hand, yep.
Yep, raise my dick, got it up there. But, yeah, no, basically what happened was I was playing this side project band while I was playing in Suffocate with basically almost the same members called Legacy of Pain. And we ended up getting, I got MySpace by Jamie Josta of Hatebreed. And it was very awkward because I was like, okay, this is definitely a fake profile because Jamie Josta, you know, does not just...
Why would he message you?
Yeah, who the fuck am I? And Jamie Josta doesn't go, this was, you know, a, just this like, was a hey, Lars. I'm like,
do you know Hatebreed?
Was this an idol or like...
Oh, this, no, I mean, Hatebreed's probably the biggest hardcore band. Period. They would play Ozfest every year. Like,
and you were like, this must be a troll account.
Well, no one knows me. I'm fucking like 17 years old. I mean, girls in my own high school don't know me. Jamie Josta from like this gigantic, you know, band is not going to be like... That kid right there across the country, this is the one.
We want you.
But it was. You know? That did happen to you.
Yeah. But yeah, it did. We ended
how
up,
much of that do you think was luck and how much maybe just
I mean, that was MySpace, honestly, skill. Working for us. I really, like, because we put up a song. The day we put up our first song we recorded, which we wrote, like, 2 days before, just threw it together. We were just like, yeah, we're high. Let's just fucking, okay. They're like, cool. Hmm. Put it up. And then Jamie Josta, just, like, 3 seconds later, was like, hey, I want to sign you. And I was just like,
holy shit.
Dude. All right, come on. Who is this fucking, which friend of mine is fucking trying
you
to fuck with
me? You seriously recorded that two days before?
It was like, yeah, 2-3 days before. We just tracked it. It was three piece at the time. It was me, my guitarist, Taylor Jones, and Jared
Armitage.
What was
the project called?
Legacy of Pain. Okay. It's you can find
like
that.
I feel like I've heard
that. Is it on the interwebs?
Well, it's a very fucking stereotypical metal name because we're very bad at naming bands. I don't know if you can tell. Suffocate with a K. Not exactly. You know,
Legacy
poetic.
Of bad naming.
Yeah, exactly. Legacy
I've
of
had
really
some weird band names.
Bad names.
Wow.
But yeah, basically, we got signed to that band.
Yeah.
So what happened with that was, nothing, basically, because they didn't do anything besides print our CD. There was like kind of promises that were made. But, you know, at the time, I was excited again and young. And I was like, hey, this is Jamie Joseph Hatebreed. Like, he's been in a band. He's in a hardcore band. He knows what it's like. You know, he knows the struggle. And I'm not dissing the guy, but because I understand he needs to make money off of what he's doing. And it's hard to do that in this industry. So it's not meant to rag on him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very unorganized. You know, his label is small, so it's not exactly like they had the, I think, the things they needed at the time to really do what they were trying to do. So we were just kind of sitting there like, all right, let's do this. And we're like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, I imagine a lot
of
those.
Are we doing this? Like, should we still call you back again? Are we going to do this? No, maybe. So it's just like nothing happened really for a while.
I imagine a lot of those small labels, just from my own experience, a lot of those small labels are like musicians who are moonlighting as you know, the operations manager or the
yeah, and they're doing that because they have to, because musicians don't make shit.
Right.
It's like, dude, if really? Jamie Joss from Hatebreed, one of the biggest hardcore band, like, period, is like,
right,
damn, I gotta start me a label, try and make some extra scratch.
He's,
it's like,
he's
fuck,
hard up. Yeah,
I'm like, we're like not even, you know, in the hardcore genre, but if we were, let's say we were like number 9,005, we'd be like, yeah, we're like 9,005, and if Jamie Joss does Hatebreed, you know, it's like broke. Then we're like negative bro.
How good can we?
Yeah, like,
how good
I don't think
can
we've ever even
do,
seen
yeah.
a dollar before or something, probably. But
mega broke.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was right around that time when we first got signed, we were still playing with Suffocate because it was like the same members. We started getting hit up with by other record labels, bigger record labels. And we're like, oh shit! Like record labels like Ferret, who had like Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage and Poison the Well, and you know, big bands at the time, and still big bands. And then, like, let me think here. We got hit up by, like, Victory, even though they're, you know, a crappy, horrible, evil label. Everyone know that out there.
A friend of mine has direct experience with them.
Yeah.
And
they suck. They're evil.
He's got some horror stories. Maybe we can get him in here sometime.
Yeah, we've toured with, like, Carnifex and, like, Bury Your Dead. I know both those bands.
Carnifex is cool. I really like their music.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Yeah. Great band, great guys. But I know they've struggled. They struggled with that label. That's why they just recently switched.
Yes, I've heard it's
yeah. You know, unfortunately,
quite an experience.
Most labels are like that. I probably just committed suicide technically.
We can always edit that part out.
No, it's fine. It's like, whatever. We're already dead, so just don't worry about it.
We're already
negative dead.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
We owe money.
I thought you guys knew how metal I was. I'm like, I was dead before I got here. No, but yeah. So
that reminds me of the guy from I'm blanking on the name of the band, but he recently committed suicide because he was a Satanist, and he committed suicide because he was like, yeah, I'm at the top of my game.
You're not thinking of Mayhem, like the old that black metal band.
No, this was
another one. Holy shit!
This was in within a few weeks.
Oh, dude, we might start having to kill ourselves because we're not evil enough. Because this is a trend. And there's like two bands doing that.
And he was
gotta get on the ball.
Yeah, he's like, I'm at the top. I'm at the peak.
Yeah.
And so, what better time to go out?
Yeah, I gotta. This is my peak. It's a low peak, but I guess I gotta kill myself right after this.
Sorry, guys. It wasn't the Mayhem guy.
Yeah. Mayhem dudes.
that was a trip.
Some gnarly shit. Yeah.
You know about that, Drew, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen that movie, right?
Well, you know what? Maybe it's not that gnarly. I mean,
There's a lot of documentaries about it.
We've all made soup out of our homies' brains, so come on, let's be real. And we all have necklaces with the bone fragments, and we all take pictures of them when they blow their heads off. Come on, guys. Let's not judge people.
Wouldn't you not eat
Bay Area. We're very progressive.
Brain? Yeah, come on. We're liberal here.
No, I eat them because I love them, all right, bro? I thought that's what we... Come on. Love conquers hate, bro. Eat your homie's brain.
He had a great mind, and you know what? It tasted great, too.
A little salt, though. We need a little salt.
I loved him for his brain.
Ugh, God.
Mexicans make better brain. That's coming from a Mexican, so it's not racist.
Just don't hang any brain in this room.
We make the best brain. Don't be jealous.
Okay.
But yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so with that in tow.
We're all stoned, yeah.
So one brain led to another, and you got signed.
Back to the story.
Back to the label.
Question you asked
back
me 45 minutes ago.
That's how this shit works. Good.
But yeah, so anyways... we get hit up by these labels. One of the labels we got hit up by was this label that was new at the time but doing really well called Stand and Deliver Records. And they offered us a really amazing contract. And at the time, it was just me, our guitarist Taylor Jones, and Jared Armitage, our original vocalist. So it was like we didn't even have a full band, but we had like three original members, which was cool. But we were all excited for it. And we got a lawyer, had him look over the contract, did the whole thing you're supposed to do. Everything's looking kosher. And then it's like coming to the day that we're actually going to sign. And I actually ended up waking up to a text from my vocalist who just texted, I'm done. And I was just like, oh, this motherfucker's fuck with me already. Like, it's too early in the morning, man. What are you doing? Like, because it was a good contract.
I'm
like, we were stoked. Like, we were going to have actually a little bit of money in our pockets, which for the first time in our lives.
So of course, that's when the vocalist quits.
I got a dollar. Hey. It was about to happen for Lars. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah, our vocalist was like, no, I'm actually done. I'm going to move to New York
for
a fat
girl
that's not even hot. And sorry to say that.
I've heard that story many times.
There's beautiful big girls. I love, like of all shapes and sizes. But this girl, I'm sorry, this girl was atrocious. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sorry, y'all. We got to keep it real sometimes.
Empathy and imagination.
But anyways, so Lars had to call up the record label and just be like, hey. So I know we're supposed to sign that contract today that we've been talking about for the last 2 months, but we can't because your vocalist just quit. And they thought it was a joke. They're like, wait.
Our vocalist went Ahab on us. He's got to go hunt a white whale.
Yeah, when they finally realized, they're like, wait, he really quit? Like, are you serious? Like, why did he quit? And we're like, to go move to New York for a fat girl that's, and they're like,
not even good looking.
They even, they were like, well, is she at least a hot, she like bigger girl? And we're like, no, she's not. it was like, telling your dad something like you're disappointed about. You're like, yeah, no, that was me that pooped his pants. I was just like, yeah, no, she's ugly. And
yes, I pooped in your pants.
That was
pants,
more
dad.
Valuable than our music. I'm sorry, sir. But yeah, anyways,
your pants, Dad. I'm sorry.
So we ended up not being able to sign that contract, And basically at the time, my guitarist was like, dude, fuck what? We're like, fucking screw that.
Find a new vocalist. Could you find a new vocalist?
Huh? But at the time, this is in the moment, he's like, it's over. And I'm like, no, fuck that. This motherfucker can't fuck us over. Just, randomly like that. Like, we could do this without him. I'm really passionate about playing music. Like, I'm going to do it one way or another. So it's like,
sure.
Why not just try and make something of it? It's like, I'm not stopping, especially not because someone else is saying, yeah, you should stop just because, I'm done, so you guys are done. It's like, oh, fuck you. Now I'm not done. I was going to lay down and smoke some weed, but now I got to stand up and smoke this weed because you're being an asshole. So basically what happened was I was like, all right, we're finding a vocalist. So we put out, a little thing on MySpace, and we had been, a little bit popular at the time, not, really as big as we necessarily have been, as of recent or whatever, or later on in your years, but we were starting to get a little bit of a name. So people were, hitting us up like, oh yeah, I'd like to audition, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, we got hit up by a million horribly, horribly untalented, weird people.
Sure.
As I'm sure everyone can imagine. not to hate on most people out there, but
yeah, God bless him.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just put it this way: we had a guy walking with a penis-shaped case for his microphone at one point.
Mm.
So, yeah, let's,
sure.
Let's just throw that out there real quick.
This is Northern California.
Yeah. Nilotep trying out people too. I have stories.
Yeah, dude, they're all stories. It's amazing what people come in think they can like pass off as trying out. I'm like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like, bro,
dude, that is true.
You brought a flute. We said electric guitar. Like. He's like, well, I play electric guitar flute. I'm like, no, that doesn't work like that.
I play flute in the style
he's
of an electric guitar.
I got
guitar.
A penis case though, and we're like, yeah, no, still, you got to go. I'm sorry, bro. But no, basically, we ended up auditioning our next vocalist, Ricky Hoover, who was like your future vocalist or whatever. And you know, we had to build ourselves back up because everyone at that time was like, you guys don't have original vocalists anymore. It's all over. Just give up. We were like, no, fuck you. It's not over.
Well, it's funny because I quickly to interject here. I read something on Metal Injection about it was like, you know, it was like kind of sarcastically Suffocate, hires their 47th vocalist or something.
That's actually accurate.
Is that actually accurate?
No, so not that really. But that kind of is, I mean, basically is.
It's
we're actually on 107.
It's hyperbole.
Seriously, is it like
basically
more than
everyone who's listening to this has been our vocalist before. And actually, everyone who hasn't is going to be.
Everyone on Earth. If you have a social security number, then you're in line to get
basically, we're like the world slut of bands for vocalists.
Is it more than 10?
Yeah, it is. No, it is like, let's see. We had Jared Armitage, Carlos, CeeLo, that's what we called him. And then it was Ricky. Then it was, what did we have next? We had Matt. Then we had
46.
John. 47. Then we had, now we have a new guy that I can't name him, so.
Yeah.
You guys tried to trick
me there,
didn't
you? So that's 47.
That was a high question.
Wait. Is there a new guy?
I was keeping track, and that was 47.
Huh?
Is there a new guy?
Yes. Oh, there is a new guy coming, or someone either is coming back or a new guy. Who knows? It's mysterious.
But you can't actually speak about that, right?
No. You know why I'm not speaking about it?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. No, you can't. This is your podcast. You're not allowed to.
Okay, cool. I'm really high. That's why I said that.
It's okay.
So what are the challenges in finding a vocalist for the type of music that you play?
First of all, most people don't consider it vocals. They call it Cookie Monster vocals. You know, people out there in the non-metal listening community.
Sure.
They're just like, you guys just do this. I'm like, yeah, you guys got it.
So what are the challenges? Why have there been so many different vocalists? Is it partially because
it's the position they occupy? It's a position where you got to have a lot of confidence. You got to kind of have an ego to go on a stage and be like, "What's up, motherfucker?"
Is it mostly them? Is it them quitting, or is it the band saying, "Eh"?
It's been both. You know, it's been both with Jared.
Is there a majority of one or the other?
I'd say a majority would be. Because the only one I think we ever like really kicked out would have been Ricky. So even though he would say different, but yeah, you know.
Sure.
But anyways. So yeah, the rest.
Yeah, Ricky's Ricky's on here tomorrow.
Yeah. No, he's hiding behind this couch right now.
Right. This is an intervention.
Hey!
This is an intervention, Lars.
It's Ricky.
I hate you, Lars.
You got to stop playing metal music.
But yeah, so basically, you know, like most of them left, but it'd be it's always the same story. Honestly, it's like this is all I want to do. Just give me a chance here, please.
Yeah,
and you're like, I don't know, man. You kind of, I don't know. You're like, please, man. This is all I want. And you're like, all right, bro. And it's like, thanks. Fuck you. I quit.
Yeah.
You're like, word, so
mostly,
all right.
It's mostly
I just told
quitting.
The world that you just joined, so I'll just go tell them that you quit now, and I'll just be that asshole who's like, yeah, we have a vocalist, we don't have a vocalist.
Have you ever, can anyone who's already in the band do double duty? I mean, I know singing.
No,
can you,
you
scream?
Know, no, because you know, you have to have a lot of skill.
Yeah.
You do have to have a lot of skill to be able to pull off really good, what I consider really good vocals in a metal band.
My friend has a phrase, singing drummer, always a bummer.
Dude, I get bummed when I see a singing drummer. I'm like, dude, our job is hard. And we're like Nordic tracking at all times, you know? Like on a gym.
I like doing backing vocals.
It's like Phil,
on the drums.
Phil Collins.
But I don't want to be the lead vocalist.
I do all the
Phil Collins
yeah,
and Don Henley are the
us.
Only ones I can think of who can kind of do it.
I do, yeah. I just do the Barry Whites for us.
Two. Two out of millions.
So, hey, yeah.
But, okay, do. Yeah, so that was a parenthetical. So.
Yeah. But no, you're good. But yeah, no, it's like, you know, I don't want to basically. I don't want to disrespect that position in the band because it is a really tough fucking job. You know what I mean? It is not easy to do.
It's not just Cookie Monster. It's
exactly.
Not just
and there's people that scream like, ah, rah, 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 and then there's people that can actually scream. You know what I mean? And they can have a very like clean but really like full,
Mike,
powerful.
Mike Patton-ish.
Yeah, well, Mike Patton is just, yeah, he can do everything, basically. He could make his much. Voice
Lamb
sound
of
like
God
a fart.
Vocalist. I mean, he's
pretty good. He's good, you know, too. Ryan Blythe is good, but there's even more talented ones. I think not to say he's not talented, but I think for what I like.
What
in
you
my
guys
taste,
are looking for?
Yeah, what I would be more into.
Yeah, what's a band that might be similar?
You know, Nate Johnson used to play in, like, what was it, Since the Flood, but I liked it when he was in, like, Through the Eyes of the Dead. He also was in...
I love Through the Eyes of the Dead.
Yeah, they were a good band. And then, what else was he in? He was in another one. God, I'm forgetting the name. It's an old band. Hmm. But anyways, he just has this low that is just... It's like, you know the dude has to have big balls. You're like, holy shit.
He's got a three-ball voice.
Your balls are huge, dude. I don't even know you, and I can tell. You're somewhere else on this planet. I'm like, God damn, those balls are gigantic. Calm down. Stop being such a beast. But yeah, it's just like there's this thickness and this power to it that it's like when he's when he just burst out with
some
that
people
shit,
just
like,
have that. It's
yeah, dude.
Weird.
Yeah, it's just like a dude like someone who's got soul or something like that.
Like,
yeah,
like Amy Winehouse.
You know, yeah, like, I'm not someone who's gonna be like, yeah, I got soul. People are like, no, you don't, Lars. Just calm down. You don't have soul. I'd be like, all right, you guys got me.
But you play the
you got
drums.
Mojo.
Well, okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Live, you play the drums.
Yeah, so vocally, I don't have the soul.
Well, I mean,
but yeah, maybe
if you say so, I don't know.
Okay, so you're there. The thing's going on. When you're touring, what instrument do you play?
Oh, drums.
But you write Suffocate's guitar.
Well, I'm the only member that's written on every CD. Like, there's no member that's ever written on like or on every song.
Either. So a CD comes out and you write on it with a marker.
I throw my dick on it and I'm like, yeah, there we go, guys, it's done.
I wrote with
finally
a Sharpie.
Finalized because I'm that cool. No, but you know, no. It's like there's guitarists that have written riffs, you know, plenty of riffs. Like Taylor Jones, he wrote a good amount of material too as well. But no. Like as of recent, it's like yeah, I've been having to take over guitar duty sometimes. Not like all the riffs are mine, but sometimes I have to do that because really, honestly, there's been points where with the band where it's like it's just me or maybe one other person. Like it's been me and a vocalist at times, and it's like, hey, you don't play guitar, right? I'm like, yeah, no. I don't. And he's like, I'm like, you don't play either, right? He's like, yeah, no. Like, fuck, we got to write an album. Though,
let's not
like,
play together.
Yeah, I'm like, we told people we were going to make music. And like, they're like, where is it? And I'm like, I don't know. So we should pick that guitar up and try and like figure this out.
You're like the Paul McCartney.
Smoke some weed and like really just try and think about this or something.
You're like the Paul McCartney of black metal.
No, I'm like the fucking Cletus of fucking like deathcore. it's much worse than that, guys. Sorry.
You know, I saw that Metal Injection article, the... The band photo and one of the guys wearing Slapshot hoodie that warmed my heart, man,
oh dude,
because I'm from the East Coast and I've seen Slapshot many times in Rhode Island and in Boston, and I was like, just it was like brought it home for me, like, oh cool.
One thing I can say about like almost every member minus maybe like one or two, they all had amazing taste in music and they all had like respect for like I don't want to be like hella like cliche here, but the true underground. But you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
They respected bands and they've like actually went out there to like find these bands that maybe, you know, most people wouldn't have heard of because like they actually were, you know, involved in and interested in music, which is I think hugely important if you're trying to be in a band. But
that's how I got interested in music.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah, dude.
Totally.
Yeah, no, you go to shows or you hear shit and you're like, holy shit, I don't know who this person is.
Every weekend,
badass. I wish I could be anywhere near that badass. And then you try and like play something.
And then you play something, yeah.
Okay, so Suffocate gets together, and then you get on YouTube, and then what happens?
Okay, well, Suffocate smokes weed and then gets together. That would be more accurate. Then Suffocate smokes weed a few more times, and
together.
Then YouTube, and then we remember, wait, what were we on YouTube for? Then we smoke more weed, and then, yes.
What's my YouTube password? I have to reset my password.
Yeah, I had to make like nine of those
the
first time.
Let me take this bong before I reset my password.
I forgot my password after I made it immediately. It was just like asking me questions. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't know. You're like, you just made it, asshole. I'm like, I still don't know. Fuck.
Security. Security questions.
Yeah, but yeah.
What's your favorite pet? Like,
it's like looking at you. It's like, my name's Bob, asshole.
I've never.
You don't remember me? You named me, you asshole. Fucking remember.
Remember me.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But yeah, YouTube. Okay, we got on MySpace honestly first. That was honestly a huge, huge help. Well, before
back
that, actually, hxcmp3.com. I'm taking it back, old school for everyone.
Seriously, old school.
That's like dial-up modem, old school. We were on that. And we first started getting like a little name on there because it was like a Billboard chart kind of. They would list the bands in order, and we actually made it up to like I think within the top 10 or something like that. And that was, you know, at the time like all the online metal there was, so it was a pretty big deal, you know, at least for us. And there's bands like Jaffa Cowboy was on that, you know, All Shall Perish, other big bands. But anyways, fast forward, then came MySpace. And then that like basically, you know, really helped us with promotion because it was just an awesome platform for, you know, promoting your band. It was like, you know, you had your band page, you go on that page, boom, that's music's great. Playing. People are like, hey,
yeah,
I didn't even click play, so I had to listen to this. And is this actually kind of all right?
Yeah, it started out that they didn't, it wasn't like that, but then they started like, to cater more to bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when you would just play automatically, and I was like, of course.
It was like the anti-troll fucking, like, a protection system, because it's like, someone would show up and be like, I was coming here to say fuck you to this band, but their music's playing, and it's actually,
God damn it. See, I missed that about MySpace. I wish Facebook would do that.
Yeah, no, Facebook like
well, Facebook now has the autoplay videos, which is
They do now, but it probably costs you like fucking your balls or something. They'll be like, yeah, garbage. It just costs one testicle, and you'd be like, oh fuck,
firstborn male child.
Yeah, like I already gave the other one away.
Yeah,
but yeah. Anyways, so
I gave the second one away. Second one spoken for
by my mom. But yeah, no. Basically, anyways, back to MySpace. So yeah, basically, that's when we first kind of blew up. We got like almost like within a week, all of a sudden, I don't know what the fuck happened, but it was like we got millions of plays, like. Just like woke up one day, kind of like looked at the MySpace. We're like, yo, homie, like it says we have like a million something plays. Like our shit's fucked up, right? And he's like, yeah, it's got to be fucked up. I'm like, okay, word. I'm just going to smoke a blunt. We'll just like let them figure that out. And came back and like checked it again.
It's up to
a little over 2 million now, bro. This definitely has to be broken, right? Like definitely broken. We're still just way too high. Just let them fix it, Lars. And like third time I was like, all right, it's up to like 4 million. People are like messaging me and shit and being like, yo, that shit's sick, so I think it's real. I think they actually like our shit, which is weird, but...
My guess was that it was probably maybe featured somewhere, or maybe the guy from Hatebreed.
Oh, no, not promoted even... Promoted it. Honestly, dude,
just ran,
we
just
were
totally
a no-name
random?
Band, dude. Nothing. We were nothing, dude. No record labels. Everyone honestly was like, yeah, you suck.
It truly went viral then.
Dude, yeah, seriously, like I'm pretty sure we were like up there, like right below, like not like maybe directly below, but like in the same vicinity as like Tia Tequila. And like, you know, those like big MySpace
those
names
other,
at the time.
Those other other black metal bands.
Yeah,
those like
other
Tia
talented
Tequila.
Metal vocalists like Tia Tequila. Yeah. But yeah, so that was crazy, dude. It was just like, dude, we freaked out. We're like, oh my God, like people actually are like, listening to our shit, you know, because they want to.
And then did you parlay that into a record deal? Or did,
well,
did
we
people
didn't,
just
MySpace
approach you?
Basically ended up, you know, doing that for us. But what happened before that was... That was when we first blew it up, so we got contacted by like labels like Fair, like I said, and Stand and Deliver. Uh-huh. So then we ended up, you know, not taking the contract because that vocalist Jared left. So then we were back, you know, square one.
Right.
And then he first came back. I'm sorry, excuse me. I have to restart. Sorry, guys. I'm high. I have to start that over. I knew this was going to happen.
Let's take a brief.
Okay.
Stage. No. Thing.
Shit.
Things that you're presumed to know, but you were never taught.
Okay, like okay. English,
or like
manners,
drums, English okay, and drums never first.
Mind. Never mind.
No, no, I'm serious. Those two, never I mind. Really. No. It's okay. Oh, we can ask that question. It's fine.
I just mean like life shit. Like,
oh shit,
you got to get insurance for your car. You know, your guidance counselor doesn't tell you this.
Then I'm serious.
Shit
seriously.
That your guidance counselor should have told you, maybe wouldn't it have been cool if your guidance counselor told you these things?
Yeah.
But they didn't.
That's basically
life tips. So this leads me into something, a question for you, Lars. Yeah. Do you have a life tip?
Life tip. Okay. School teaches you about probably 10% of what you need to know in life. That 10% is only applicable to
it's
working
a high estimate.
Jobs that you probably are not going to be too happy working. I'm just going to assume, you know, go on a limb and assume that you don't like working.
I'm on board so far.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds good.
Container jobs. But anyways, outside of that, I think what's more important, or not more important, but there's equally important, it would be better, is getting an education, like a world education, getting a street education. Getting a community education, getting
travel.
A racial education, getting a gender education, getting a... All those things are just as valuable, if not more valuable.
Basically,
honestly.
An empirical education.
Yeah. Like, you can't sum up life in the school system we have right now.
You go out into the street. You go out into the forest. You go to another country.
Yeah. It's like, I went to college, you know, and majored in sociology. I don't, like, walk out of that college and be like, yeah, I'm a sociologist. I need a job. Hook it up.
Represent. Did you get a degree?
Yeah. And, it does jack shit for you. I'm just going to throw that
What's your degree?
I got a BA in sociology. So it's you know, it's basically useless. So just gonna throw that out there. If you guys
want to
work
throw
the
it
same
out there if
job
you, want to,
you were
sure.
working before you were in college, and you just feel like paying a lot of money to go fucking get a piece of paper.
Yeah, well,
I suggest it. I definitely do recommend
it's,
it.
It's an issue. You know, yeah. I think college isn't for everybody. You know, I think for some people it's good.
It's better than high school. That's for sure.
For some people, college isn't the right.
I never went.
And
oh, smart man.
I don't have any judgments.
Yeah.
It well, right now it seems like more of a fucking cash grab, more of a scam than it ever was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's definitely the case. And like the thing is, you know, college, I learned a shit ton. I'm not gonna, you know, like
sure,
lie.
Sure.
And I did like my experience there. A lot of fun.
I learned a shit ton, and a very small minority of what I learned was academic.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I think that's the case for most people.
How about that?
I think that's important. People respect that, dude, because people look at you and they're like, "Oh, you don't have a degree, or you didn't get a master's in douchology, so we can't
right.
talk."
I don't give a shit.
Exactly, but you're still an intelligent person, I'm sure. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, the way society looks at it, you know, they don't value things like that. If you don't have a piece of paper, then you're not a smart person.
Right. That's how many letters do you have after your name?
Yeah. Did Socrates have a BA from fucking, you know, like Harvard? No, that motherfucker's just smart. You know what I mean?
Did William Shakespeare have a PhD or a master's? Or
pretty sure he went to DeVry, guys.
No.
Pretty sure he went to DeVry, online school.
He went to DVC, dude.
Yeah.
What about Da Vinci?
Da Vinci?
No. He didn't go to academia. He studied in the painting workshop. He got right into the workshop.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's what people do that have a passion for something.
It worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they have a passion.
So yeah, I'm totally on board, man. Yeah. Education should be like going out into the field, figuring out what you like by immersion.
We don't put our feelers out
there.
True,
go ahead.
We have a contained feelers, and that's why music and stuff like that is left out of kind of the overall span of what society considers a legitimate education or practice. You know what I mean? It's like you go to school, you get an A in music class if you like don't fucking like light the school on fire. You know what I mean? But if you go to like math class and you don't turn your homework or, you know, whatever, do stuff you're not supposed to do, then you're not gonna, you know, like get a passing grade. Different from music for some reason. But guess what? I think there's a more of a connection oftentimes with a lot of people with music than there is with math, because we're all different types of people. We all communicate in different ways.
And I would say that there's a huge amount of overlap that a lot of musicians and mathematicians don't see, but there's a lot of overlap between music and math.
Yeah,
hugely.
Dude, like 4-4 timing. That's two numbers right there stacked as fractions, everybody.
Right. Every time signature is a fraction in lowest terms, right?
Yeah. So technically, then I'm good at math.
You know, except for some.
Okay, so here we go. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question, and then I'm going to play your song and then answer after the song.
Thanks for being patient.
Play
I think
my
I'm
song?
Gonna cut you
oh
off.
So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to do, okay. So what we're going to do is, I have a question, Lars. So you have on the MySpace, you get all the things, and then you take it
all
to Facebook
things.
And you get
the
all the
store.
Things.
All
and then you go to
things,
YouTube
y'all.
And then everyone still likes you, dude. They still like you.
They all just
and then you have
so
all
much,
these
though.
Millions of views and your YouTube channel is something like 20 million views. Mm. And you have, from those 20 million views,
20
gajillions. You've made all this money. Tell me about all that money you've made.
Oh, I
right after the song. All right,
y'all.
Okay.
I keep it fat. Cool. I keep my pockets fat, y'all. Don't worry about it.
Oh,
types of penis, y'all.
Wow, dude, that riff in there, that's like a third of the way in, and then it gets all like
it's all like chun 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 chun.
But it's all off with the harmonious.
Oh yeah.
Chords,
yeah.
Like the a polyrhythm, dude. Yeah.
There's that weird little major chord just thrown great. In there real quick.
Thank you guys.
Dude, that was my favorite part.
Thanks, man.
It's really
cool.
That
was ripping, man. That was awesome.
That's a great riff.
Thank you, man. I mean, I put like at least a moderate effort into it, so
it's obvious. No, it's there. It's like and the drums are
below
cool.
Average effort, maybe be more accurate. But yes, at least somewhere in the moderate kind of realm.
What do you call that riff?
Okay, wait. No, we got to be a little more specific than the third-ish riff.
So the one where it's like the low groove that's happening, but then the high chords, like the Arabic
Egyptian kind of sound. Yeah. Okay, well that's like basically a kind of like a dissonant like acacia strain rhythm rhythm part on the for rhythm guitar, and that's coming a lot of that rhythm comes from just my kick drum. Like that's where we get a lot of like the kind of that's where we make decisions a lot of the times where we're gonna chug, y'all.
That's where the bass
is. Where the bass drum can chug.
Should be making decisions on that too.
Yeah, it's like feet and hands same time. Chug.
Totally, man.
Can you play guitar and drums at the same time?
I can do everything and drum at the same time in life, Drew. We know this. Come on.
He's playing drums right now. He's actually been playing drums the whole podcast.
And we're recording it on a separate channel.
Yeah. The drums are outside playing themselves, y'all. That's how good I am. It's just like they just.
He's good. Check out his videos. He's
totally
good.
On point with
his good.
Check out my one or two videos that might possibly be up on YouTube. One or
they're
two.
Cool.
They've got like two views, y'all. Get on it. It's getting hot. People are starting to fucking really get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, YouTube has like one, I think maybe a dozen videos total. And one of, and your
two
videos.
Two of them are mine.
One,
two of them are mine
two
and two of those
yours.
Views
yeah,
on
yeah.
YouTube
I thought it was
are mine.
One. Two of them are yours.
And there's five views on YouTube, y'all. So I'm pretty much.
Get it?
And then I think there's a total of five videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. There's
total.
Definitely at least a total of 10 douchebags that are on there.
That's true.
Yeah.
There are more user accounts.
Five bands, 10 people tell you suck. You're just like. Two for each band, at least.
Oh, man. Internet comments.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's a whole episode.
They're so insightful.
Oh,
that's
my
a whole
gosh.
Episode.
Dude. Yeah, with a sudden, even, yeah.
YouTube just, comments. You go, like, seven down from the video. And
it's like Hitler.
Racist.
It's like, N-word.
It's like hit someone.
Craziness.
It's like hit someone in the head who's really dumb with a sledgehammer and then have them try and type. And that's usually what comes out on the internet in comments.
I've done
they'll
that.
Be like,
so
yeah, here's,
so,
check out
yeah.
a new album. And they'll be like, And you're like, okay, I don't know what to say to that.
It's like
know.
Baby Seal.
No, Baby Seal sound way better than that. But, yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, sorry. What were we even talking about? I'm high again. Sorry.
So, okay. You YouTube channel just got about 20 million views. And then all the money that came from that.
Oh, right.
Like, right there. Okay. Like,
well, so, it wasn't 20 million views, but we got a good amount of views, on YouTube. Like, one of our music videos has, like, over, it's like probably like 1,600,000, 700,000. There's another one. You know, there's a ton of videos out there. We have millions of views cumulatively.
Sure.
But at the time, when we first were signing our contract with the record label Media Scare that we are still with or whatever, basically.
Or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever. Oh, you had to point
no,
that
don't,
out.
Don't.
I know, it's like, it's don't difficult, guys. We're in a relationship, okay? It's like
PR suicide.
It's like, yeah, PR, like.
Dude, they're not going to hear this.
Nobody
listens.
They don't listen to anything.
You know what?
Not
unless my mom tells somebody.
Yeah. Mom's up on game, though.
He's the only one who's commented. My mom's the only one who's listening.
I made the first comment ever. Folks, please comment below.
Actually, that was me commenting in a fake profile
made
of Drew.
True.
Dang it.
You knew his password.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so sorry. Back to that question we asked 9 years ago. So what happened was once
dude,
we
I'm
started
high,
getting the plays, we finally figured out, like, oh my God, the industry has changed now. You get paid for YouTube plays.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Poof, look at this. And we're, like, I'm a musician.
You get paid a pittance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, we're all musicians that were in the band. We're not business folk. We're not, like, carrying briefcase with documents and going, like, oh, time to go to practice, guys. Like, we're not doing, I don't know. We're not fucking balancing our checkbooks.
Smuggler's
shit.
Blues. That's
we're actually
that's
trying
about.
To play our instruments so we could write good music. And then we make something that, people actually want to hear. And we're like, yeah, we're excited.
Right.
And,
that's why
what?
You, that's, yeah.
Is so. The industry already knows what's going to be going on. And they kind of take advantage of that. They do. They take advantage of artists because they know.
Right.
What's happening business-wise. And when you come as a young musician, which most are, that are starting to get signed.
Starry-eyed.
You're excited. You're like, wow, people really appreciate something I put my time and effort and, my heart and soul into.
Yeah, holy shit. I'll work for free,
like, yeah. Yeah, dude, well, it's like, I'll just you know, I'm excited. Record label is just a big deal. You can go walk around and be like, yeah, I'm in a record label. I'm signed.
Check it out.
I have a small dick, but now it's like at least 1 centimeter bigger.
Yeah, I got a small dick and I have a huge pickup truck. So somewhere in between there.
Balls hanging off the back.
White pickup trucks.
Like white trucks. Yeah.
Just let everyone know I have one of those, ornamenty things, the balls that hang off the back.
You think that's a common experience for bands in any genre?
Everyone in the music industry who's in a band. So. Has been fucked at one point in the ass. Not to put that in like, you know, a negative way to say sexually. I'm just saying metaphorically has been fucked in the ass at some point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
By the industry, because what happens is...
The industry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and
which is usually like musicians who no longer play music and now they've gone to the business part of it.
Because those are the ones, those are like the big names. Like, I mean, let's say Jamie Joseph, for example.
That's
he made it independent. Well, Tony Romo? No, he wasn't in a band. He was just professionally a douchebag since birth. Like that guy.
Oh, okay.
Dude, yeah. I found out the other day that on this topic sense. Is mm-hmm. that Nilotep's MySpace, apparently we had like something like 100,000 listens.
Yeah.
And like.
MySpace did that. And then, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Reloaded every day.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. But then like none of that transferred to anything.
Dude, we had like over 10 million plays on our MySpace.
See?
And then we start out and we have like 150,000 plus Facebook followers. And then take it back to HXCMP3.com. We had like another 500,000 a million plays on that, and then it's like, yeah, how much money do I have?
He's holding the pipe.
Yeah, sorry, I've been marinating on cool. it. It's like, how much money do I have from that? $0.
Well, that's why I
basically... Seriously, zero.
Zero,
check
zero
it out.
Dollars.
You've literally not gained $1?
We have from our live shows and our merch sales in shows, you know, like when we're playing that show, like when we're selling the merch, yes, we have made money off that, but not like, anything that could sustain us financially when we're living at home or whatever. But everything like in terms of like online sales, record sales, all that type of stuff. Yeah, $0. And I'm not saying like, yeah, I should have millions because I'm the man. No, not like that. But I could have seen a check for like $5. That would have been nice like at some point, considering it's like, hey, I know we've sold at least one CD, let's say online. Like, I think that's a fair guesstimate, one. It's like, I would think you could get like a little bit of money back from that because we're supposed to. Then it's in the contract. But that's not how it works.
Yep.
And in the contract, for example, with YouTube, we weren't in the contract to be the person that has the name
right.
for the account. So right. we don't get paid for that.
Right.
And so that's why I actually made an account recently. And this new music video, and that song you just played, Imposter, is on that account so that now I can hopefully make a dollar,
I
maybe
see.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quickly, parenthetically, I took bass lessons for maybe 3 months from this guy Roger, and he had perfect pitch, and he was a master musician, and he was also a member of ASCAP.
Oh God, yes.
Right. So occasionally he had some song. His song was played somewhere on some obscure radio station somewhere, and every year he would get a check. From ASCAP for like, $1,000.
He's a smart guy because he was on the ball.
And that shit, that infrastructure doesn't really exist anymore.
No. Oh, well, I mean, ASCAP's still there, but what happens 90% of the time, I'm going to say, when you're playing, let's say you're Stone and you're playing music with your friends and someone's like, yeah, we want to sign
Sounds
you. And you're
familiar.
Like, hold on, let me hit up ASCAP, the thing I've never heard of before or wouldn't know about because I'm not in the industry yet. That's
See, I don't even have an account. I don't even have an account.
No, yeah, well, no, I didn't. We had two albums
again,
released.
Again, something your guidance counselor should tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay,
hey, you're a musician.
What's the lesson there?
The lesson
is that you got to go out and respect the business aspect to the music industry if you're really trying to take your band seriously and do research because no one is out there initially to help you. No one is.
Right.
Everyone is out there to make money.
Okay.
Or for themselves, try to make money off you. Or they have some other ulterior motive because it's a business.
Yes.
You're supposed to profit. We're in a capitalist economy. You can't go out and do business for just because you like somebody and be like, yeah, we want to help you. We like your music.
Yes, and so copyright. Are you for copyright then?
Oh yeah, I mean it's important that we have a copyright. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it should be just
cool.
Really basic, like just more morals
the way
almost.
The way it was before Disney co-opted it.
Yeah, it should just be like, hey, you played that song and made it. Okay, that's your song. It's like, holy shit, I think that makes sense.
You wrote a song in your 20s and it was a hit and it's been continued to be a hit. And hey, guess what? Maybe you're a one-hit wonder or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
but you can you can still collect on that.
Yeah, because you
for basically your entire life.
Because you contributed something to the world that like people appreciate and has value to them. You know what I mean? And that should be respected. Just like if you're selling tomatoes,
because I think originally it was 50 years, right? The
copyright laws.
See,
I still don't even know. I'm not up on game. I need to be up on game, but I'm not.
Basically, the idea was if you're an artist and you create something, you are entitled in some way to have the sole right to make money off the thing that you created.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, for 50 years, like the, you know, you create something in your 20s, and 50 years later, maybe you can. So that was the idea.
Yeah.
Within your lifetime, you're entitled to make money off of what you've created.
Right.
So I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah. Me too, because like honestly, check it out. It's like if you contributed something to the world, if one person contributed something positive to the world that everyone really did appreciate, we could like, you know, eliminate the need for like really having to do work necessarily or like jobs we don't enjoy ourselves. Because people love doing something. Everyone pretty much loves them. They might not know what it is yet. Yep. They might be trying to figure it out. But when they do, they'll be able to contribute something.
Buckminster,
you know what I mean?
Fuller.
But what's fucked up right now is people who finally figure that out and try and contribute something, they end up fucking having whatever they're supposed to get back from that contribution to the world taken by people who aren't contributing shit.
Right.
And then those people are fucking
brokers,
second-handers.
It's the people that are just sitting there like, oh my God, I don't know what the fuck I'm good at,
Kobe.
And I'm really not trying to do shit, so let me just try and I'm gonna write this rule right here.
The second-handers.
Your shit is your shit until it's my shit. And then once it's my shit, it's never your shit again. And if you try and take it back, I'll sue your ass and I'll win because I have more money than you, kind of thing.
Yes.
It's a really bully kind of economics or, you know, legal situation. Mm. And it's, you know, as musicians, I'm sure most musicians out there work on their craft. They work on writing music. They work on their, you know, practicing their instrument. We don't work on trying to learn business because we've never been told to do that.
For me, the hardest thing is not the scale or the doing the modal fucking alternate whatever bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the hardest thing is writing a good song.
Well, you're just making you it even harder to write like, a good song. Is
like
I
the
like
technical stuff, I could almost blow away in the wind. The real challenge lies beyond that. You know,
it's
and
communicating.
Yeah,
it's a level of communication. You could be an amazing musician on any instrument in the world, and you could suck at writing music. Everyone.
Steve Vai.
I can play Berkeley, like 9 Berkeley million College BPM, of Music, man. And I can do like sweeps all day on my dick, and you'll be like, "Great, can you play a song like or make a song like
right.
You had a little lamb?
Can we do a little 3-chord song?
Yeah.
And then just not capable of doing it?
Yeah, can you do anything but just like try and wank off on your instrument for like 2 seconds? No, you can't. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't want to listen to you jack off.
Bucket
not my
head,
type
head.
Of music.
Yeah,
but no, that is a huge deal.
It's
but
like a compulsion, I think.
Yeah.
Compulsion.
And there's value to that, man. And it's really sad right
totally,
now.
Totally, totally.
That in the music industry, we've lost that, or that they've kind of lost that appreciation for that. I think back in the day, there was kind of a respect for it because it was unable for them to really turn it into a really manufacturing type of, you know, like mainstream type of, I don't know, factory line type of deal. They're really trying to churn it out and just make money and make money and make money and do it fast.
Nowadays more. So
yeah.
Then
back in the day, you didn't have like drum machines. You didn't have you know, electronic equipment to be really helping you so much write the music or make it faster.
Sure.
To write the music. And so now that you do.
So much of it's automated now.
Yeah. The record labels are like, all right, you got like
you can write songs on your phone.
So I guess in the contract, you got to write an album in 1 month. You're like, I have to just make what I think is good in a month, even though you have no idea how long that would take or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's
a lot of the levels.
That
it.
Seems arbitrary. Putting limits on, but I think putting limits on creativity is actually a good thing.
It can be. No, it can be. If it's done by like the artists themselves, I think. Because I think if someone else is limiting you, that's
the people
not
who
you
are,
then. That's
the people who
you.
Are paying you are
yeah.
limiting you. That's
but then how
that's
do we get
bueno.
The money in there if they don't get to control it?
How do you get the money in there? That's the problem. I honestly wish we were in a place where I could say like, hey, we don't need the money in it because if we could just, people take care of us on the road. Like when we go out there, we're not getting paid a lot of money. The only reason we're able to do it is because of fans and people out there that appreciate what we've done musically. And they like open their you know, house doors to us. Have
you
stay.
Sleep in other people's homes
oh,
a lot?
Yeah, dude. If we didn't have amazing fans that were kind enough to let us sleep in their houses or feed us or, you know, even let us smoke a bowl or whatever it might be, we wouldn't have made it past the border of California. Like, we wouldn't have. Like, we've only been able to do what we've been able to do because of those people. And that is really, honestly, the music industry that takes care of us is
wow.
the network of fans out there
Thank
in the world.
You. Did you hear that? Thank you.
Yeah, that's
oh,
cool.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. It's no big deal. No, but honestly, like, we should be thanking you because it's something we worked and put a lot of time into being appreciated by people who had to take the time out of their busy lives to find that on this fucking massive net of just a lot of bullshit music. You know what I mean? It's like true. You have to work through the Backstreet Boys and fucking Taylor Swift to, you know, find Suffocate from Oakland, some Stone guys. Sure. You know what I mean? Like playing music. Well, part of, like, oh my God, someone's listening to our shit. What's going on? This is weird. Mm. It's like, yeah, someone found us.
And part of the value of a record deal is that just distribution.
Yeah. That's,
they can get you internationally, and they can get you spread around a lot, and you get a lot of exposure, and that
Now
feeds
we have the
into
internet,
your thing.
You don't even need that. You really don't.
Well, now,
I mean,
no, not really.
You really don't. How many people buy CDs?
You just need gumption.
As compared to how many people go and listen to a song online. You know what I mean? It's like you hear about a band first now from, you know, online music, you know, like stuff like, I don't know, maybe Slacker or Pandora or, Spotify, Facebook, whatever it might be. You don't go to a CD store and sit there and browse through CDs like I used to do when I was, like, young. I would go through and be
that's
like,
what I did,
I have no idea what any of these bands are,
totally,
but that kind of looks cool.
Me too,
like,
man.
Fuck it, I'm going to buy it.
Tower Records, like,
yeah.
You go to the second floor, it's like, oh, that's, I know the guy who likes heavy metal is there, the guy who likes hardcore is there. Yeah. I'm going to talk to these guys and see what they say, what's new.
You know what's a
big
deal?
Then you turn around and you flick through the cassettes and you're like, you get, like, really good at flicking through the DVDs, you know?
Next row.
Cases.
But you know what's sad about, like, that kind of being lost is the fact that when you bought a bad CD back in the day, you paid for something that sucked. And you're like, fuck. And so you, like, went
there's
back and you're like, I'm not doing
that
again. I'm not doing that. I'm going to make sure I find out who's good and I'm going to research this shit. I'm going to buy me a good CD.
There's
so
value.
I don't waste my money. Yes. Nowadays, you just go on there, you're like, it's like fucking Tinder of bands. It's like, yeah, sucks. You're all right, but I will hate you next week. Suck. You know, like, people are just like, I don't know. They just, like, don't take the time to appreciate music like they used to. It's too fast of a process. And that's why people have lost value in it. That's why we can go listen to, like, the dumbest shit on the radio and people will be all right with it.
Hmm.
Like, I know everyone out there has probably heard a song last week that's like, titties up and then titties.
I think I heard a new low when there's a song that was like, this girl was like, I really, 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 really like you.
That's
seriously,
lyrical
that was the
genius right there, actually, Drew.
Seriously, that's a song. I was in Ross and I heard that and I was like, oh my God, that is such a low.
Give it 10 years, we're going to have farts just auto-tuned.
It's
just going to be that
low,
with
low,
like
low,
dubstep.
Low,
it's like,
low,
blah, 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 wah, wah, wah.
Yeah,
it's like what we're going to be listening to.
It'll be vulgar scat jokes and dubstep.
Yeah, just farts are going to be accepting fucking awards. Be like, thank you.
Idiocracy, dude.
Oh, Idiocracy is like probably like, even like, being nice about it. They're probably like, you know, like, let's take it easy on these guys. Let's not really give them an accurate depiction because it's going to be much worse than this. They'll be watering their fucking dicks with Gatorade instead of just the entire fucking planet. But yeah, we will be getting chicken out of vending machines. Sure. It's going to happen, y'all. I'm going to be philosophical for a second.
We'll probably be like
give us some philosophy. Give it to us.
Alcohol,
okay, here
machines.
It is. We're all going to be eating chickens out of vending machines. Food will have actually no nutritional value at all. It'll be like worse for you. It'll be like we'll have to go to food addiction fucking counseling and shit. And yeah, anyways.
Right.
We won't drink water anymore because we will found that useless. And everyone will have fucking those ornaments I was talking about earlier, the balls hanging off the back of the trucks usually.
Oh yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
will have one of those on like on their fucking door
don't,
handle.
Don't tread on me.
On like on the cars, you know what I mean? Just mounted on their walls. So everyone will have to have the biggest
around their
balls.
Necks.
Mm-hmm. We'll just scream at each other. Just go, ah! That's how we'll talk.
Everyone will just be screaming at each other all the time.
Oh, my dick bigger! That's what we have to look forward to.
That's,
wow,
that's
sounds
the,
nightmare,
that's like this
man.
Town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm. My dick bigger! No!
Me.
I object! My dick bigger! Way bigger!
Sounds like Bernie.
His dick is bigger, though. His dick is
my
way bigger.
My vagina bigger! Me way bigger!
That's Trump.
No, that was Hillary.
Oh, she doesn't have a vagina. She's a robot. Trump has the vagina.
Hillary could be in a black metal band. She has that super low voice.
Dude, she scares
demonically
me.
Demonically low voice.
She it would just be like, it'd be like, I do care about you and your people. I don't care about you. I feel like she just gets off the podium and she's just like, yes, my beauties.
Lich.
It's so
Lich.
Weird hearing people go D&D like, Lich. Oh man, yeah, Hillary, I guess now we have to vote for her because she's the only hope of Trump.
Yeah, there's
no like, you hear all these nice people say option. That, and you're like, seriously, you want to vote for speeding up what is already going bad.
Well,
we should all realize we can vote for independent candidates
as
well, or we should also, you know, like, we should make a fuss about it, y'all. We should actually like get up and go and outside and be like, I'm gonna stand here and say fuck you, government, for like an hour at least. You know,
how
like
the
once
fuck
a week.
Is Donald Trump a presidential candidate?
Because
how is that happening?
Dude, you know
he's got
why?
Tons of money and tons
he's
of charisma.
He's pulling
why.
The Nazi Germany type of situation. He's playing off of the fact that our economy is taking a shit. It's gonna get worse. People are angry, and people who are angry and uneducated or uncultured, I'd say even maybe would be more accurate word to use for that, end up wanting to blame someone, and they don't know. They're like, who the fuck is doing this shit to me? Like, this is not how it's supposed to be.
Well,
then Trump comes up and he's like, it was the Mexicans. And they're like, yeah, it was the Mexicans, wasn't it? Yeah, fuck them. And he's like, and it was the Muslims. And they're like, oh yeah, fuck them too. And then you just got people running around. Yeah, fuck y'all, it's y'all fault. Well, you know, the people who are like, it was them, got your money, you know, and your fucking balls, and your girl, and you're just yelling at some dude. It's just like, they're like, I'm just kicking it, man. Just chilling. But yeah.
The reason he's a candidate is because he has money and charisma.
His family has money.
Is Bernie like suspended
really,
his campaign yet?
No. He's smart. He's waiting out because check it out. I mean, Hillary could be indicted at any moment for the emails and stuff like that that, you know, like came out because it's fucking serious stuff. She's broken a federal law, like a huge one, and like compromised our national security. That ain't
who's
no joke.
Investigating that?
Who's,
like, what's happening?
I think it's the FBI that's investigating. I don't know if that's completely for sure accurate, but I'm pretty sure that's who it is. But the thing is, it's like, yeah, they're doing an investigation right now. It's like, she is a candidate that is under investigation by the FBI.
So it's
and we're like, yeah, she could be president. It's cool.
It's like Bernie's the default then?
Well, no, Bernie.
No one else is like.
What Bernie is he's even honest, and he has
like
things that he's standed on, and he hasn't changed his opinion. The only thing like that really has changed my opinion on whether or not to vote, because I have said fuck voting for the last my entire life until this year. What changed my opinion was the fact that I was like, he's not lying. Like, this is weird. They're like, hey, have you smoked weed before? He was like, yes.
Right.
That, you know, like
that, I mean, I appreciate that.
Last response I remember was I didn't inhale.
It just stinks that it stinks that even though Bernie is the best candidate, the other choices are already negated because they're so absurd.
Oh well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're not
and it's like, so there really is no choice then.
There's no.
If there's only one.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. No. It's definitely it's monopolized.
That's what I'm like.
The parties are monopolized. It's a two-party system. Bernie isn't even necessarily technically a Democrat. I would say he's a mixture of a few things.
He was forced
to become a Democrat though, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have been in the debates.
Who was our last Jewish president?
I don't know, because I don't even care. It's like, who cares if they're Jewish
exactly.
Or who's, you know, like, who cares?
That's
if
why Hillary's going to win.
You know, like, what the religion is. It's
who was our last Jewish president? Oh, yeah, never.
Yeah.
That's why Hillary's going to win.
Yeah. Who was our last mixed, you know, race? I don't know, Chinese.
And because
and,
of PC, the PC, the rise of PC culture.
Yeah. Ugh. But anyways,
we did the black president. We did the black president thing. Now
that's
we have
what
to do the white.
That's what they're counting on. Yeah.
We have to do the woman president
thing. They're counting on us doing that. We're like, well, we got a black president. Now we have to do a woman because that's only right. And it's like, dude, it should just be who's the best, period.
Exactly.
Who's most prepared for the job. Now we have the guy who was the host of the apprentice dude on TV. That's what basically Trump is.
An absurdity.
The only reason people know who he is. Yeah. Like, oh, he was on that show. Yeah, let's make him president.
A ridiculous.
Yeah.
Caricature.
He's just a failure of a businessman and a narcissistic asshole, I would say. Because, I mean, he's been bankrupt over, like, I think it was 10 or 11 times. He's had to, like, file for bankruptcy with his businesses. That's probably not a good thing.
I can't say that he's a failure.
No, I
agree with the other parts, but I don't know if he's a failure because he's kind of living the dream.
He's living the dream.
And trying to become president.
Yeah, he's living the dream.
Isn't that the whole thing? Like
that's the whole thing.
Second generation immigrants come here, and then you're president. Like, wow.
Yeah, no, for sure, a little bit. But he's making that dream happen by crushing other people's lives.
I agree with the other
lives.
Things.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, totally.
So that's the problem. Is we need to change that. So as the dream is not crushing people's lives, you're just having your dream and making it happen because you're so awesome.
Right.
Yeah. But
getting to the top because you're so awesome, like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. I made all these hard decisions. My life's been one nightmare after the other.
Yeah.
I'm the most qualified, and
we should be trying to make everything better, not everything like, you know, some better for some people something and worse for others just because they have a different whatever the fuck it could be. Your balls are bigger than mine, so fuck you type of thing. You know, it's like, fuck that. Hillary's a robot. Bernie is actually a person. That's why I'm like, wow, he's human. He's a person. He's not a douchebag. And he said the same shit since he's been in office as a senator. And I'm like, wow, people don't do that in politics. And we need to fix that because we need to have honest, hardworking politicians that do their job.
What would it look like if he won?
It would look like someone up there who's saying, what do you guys want me to do?
Like, what do you think it would...
I think he would listen to what people have to say.
4 years from now, let's say he won. 4 years from now, what would...
I couldn't tell you
exactly what America would be like. Like, what would it be? What would it be cool if it looked like?
Yeah, it would visualize that.
It would be people actually realizing we all play a part in making what our country, basically making what we want for our country to happen, actually happen. Because right now we're not involved in politics. No one gives. I don't know anyone previous to this actual race, presidential candidate race or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know. One of my friends would have been actually involved in politics or cared. Mm. Because it was just everyone's fucking douchebags.
It's all a shit show. Fuck everything.
Yeah. It was I don't trust any of these motherfuckers. It's like, if I go out on the street and I want to buy a sack of weed, I look at motherfuckers and I'm like, okay, I can trust that motherfucker. I can't trust that sketchy motherfucker over there. Mm. Hillary and Trump are those sketchy motherfuckers. Trump's trying to send me sell me oregano. Hillary's over there trying to sell me a short sack. And Bernie's over here like, yo, I got that gram for $5. I'm like, thank you, homie. Like, please, what are these assholes trying to do to me? I'm not dumb. This is frustrating. And this is all I've had to choose from for the last, lifetime is fucking just oregano or a fucking short sack. And I'm like, fuck that. We all have plenty of weed. We should have full sacks.
It's true.
And we should all be able to smoke.
Weed. They've all been consistent in their characters.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Dropping knowledge,
guys. That's fucking, I think we got some gems here. That's pretty... roundabout amazing. That was fucking something.
That was
Dude, I got the
thank you very much.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So now, do we have any other topics?
You guys wanted to ask me how I have sex with so many beautiful women. I don't know if you remember that one, but bring that back to the table.
Hold on, let's see if we have any topics.
Favorite club in Oakland? Favorite club to play?
Music venue, okay. I do not disco at nights, guys.
So.
Favorite venue at which to perform your... to parlay your trade, sir.
Okay, ooh, parlay. Renaissance Fair style.
Metropolitan?
Oh, you mean the Oakland Metro?
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't say they're my favorite, not bashing on them. But dude, I've been playing shows in the Bay Area for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I almost want to go. Can I go?
This is why
favorite venue
to...
in the Bay Area, not favorite venue in Oakland. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
Go right there. Favorite Bay Area venue.
Favorite Bay Area venue that I honestly miss dearly would be the Pound in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I saw so many amazing bands. That was a spot that I got so much inspiration from, dude. Just we had a studio right there on Cesar Chavez Street in the city. This place called Secret Studios. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was right down the way from the Pound. It was pretty close.
Yeah.
And so we would go there all the time. We'd go to shows, and then we would be so amped from the show. We're like, yo, let's stop the studio and fucking just play. We got to play.
Right.
Sound familiar?
Yeah. And, dude, and it was so much of what we are as a band came from that, dude. It was if we didn't have that, close proximity and, that club that wasn't charging you $50 to go watch a band, but still had good bands and a good sound system. Yeah. So it was it didn't just sound like...
I saw Necrophages.
Did you get to play there?
Yeah, me too. The Black Dahlia Necrophages.
Yeah. Were you there?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's funny. Was it Black Dahlia Necrophages?
It was Necrophages and...
No, it was someone else.
One or two other bands.
Maybe it
was I saw Dark Tranquility there, and I was like, fuck yeah.
I saw...
This was like 4 or 5 years
super
ago.
Super old school. I saw Lamb of God and 18 Visions play together, which is 18 Visions is I don't know if you guys even know who that is. It was not a band I was a fan of. They were
I know the other 17 Visions, but
they're pop now, just to put it out there, which is pretty weird. But
pop metal?
Not even. I'd say more pop.
It's just pop.
They don't
just
scream.
They just still pop. Make music?
I don't know, because I stopped listening once they started really sucking, which has been for a long time now. But that band was a big band in the SoCal scene at the time. Mm. Lamb of God had just changed her name from Burn the Priest to Lamb of God. So this is OG shit. There's a capacity of maybe 150 people at this venue. So when Lamb of God's playing a venue like that with other well-known bands at the time, that's
200 people will be there.
Hmm. Yeah. And to me at the time, it was whoa, so many people here. Dude, amazing shows there. I saw Between the Buried and Me. I've seen Black Dahlia. Mm-hmm. I've seen Necrophages. I've seen Terror. I've seen Ringworm. I've seen dude, there's so many bands I can name there. It's endless. It's insane.
Did you ever play at the Pound?
Yes. Yeah. And they would bring in local bands and let them play those big shows, and let them open up.
Did you get paid?
No, I mean, like, no, but I mean, you might get like a couple bucks for gas or whatever. But if you're a local band and you're getting to play 20, a big show,
20 bucks,
be excited because there's someone's giving you opportunity.
Totally.
Yeah. So oh, man. I remember seeing those guys play, like when I saw Darch and Quilty, these local bands that when I was gigging at that time, we could have played with.
Yeah.
And I envisioned myself. I was like, damn, we could have done this.
Yeah, really? That's what happened. It was same with me, man. It was like, I could do that. And I think I might be able to do it better. And you're like,
maybe.
Well, I mean, you know, like,
That's kind of a no, but.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, dude, there's a lot of shitty local bands that you're trying to hate. So it's like, you'll see some shitty bands on stage. And you're like, I'm better than that. That guy playing the flute there, I could play that flute better than him.
Man.
Yeah, I could.
Especially bands that you're no longer in.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, those guys suck.
Fuck. That's that new bassist.
Yeah. But dude, that venue, I love that venue, man. I wish it was still here. Another venues I have to mention, though, just they're in California that are amazing. Would be the Showcase Theater in Corona that's no longer open. There's a documentary coming out on that one. That was honestly a venue that helped us get like exposure and get our name out there hugely because people just came out to shows there because they would go to support the scene. Like they just came out. The first time we played there was like probably like a little over 100 people, which was like huge for us at the time because we had been playing to crowds of like 2 or 3 probably. So, you know, like, we're like, oh my God, people paid to come in here. And there's like, like it's not all our families or anything. It's like people. But yeah, and they like actually loved us. Like they went off and like that was huge for us. People started talking about us, helped out a lot. And they're just great. Venue always gave local bands a fair guarantee, fed you good sound again. And again, a capacity of like 200 maybe. So big enough for a local scene, but not gigantic. And then Chain Reaction. That's in Anaheim. Amazing. That one's still open. That one is another great venue, underground kind of local scene type of deal.
Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of wisdom there.
I don't know about
that. A lot of experience.
A little bit of experience and a little bit of...
A little bit of wisdom, maybe?
A little bit of disappointing wisdom. You know, I'm always a disappointment in bed, so I feel like my wisdom has to be the same. Kind of on the same level.
Interesting. Well, what's the implied empathy of that?
Come on, guys. I thought you were empathetic. You really didn't give me the whole, like, I didn't feel it. I was just trying to, like, you
that's
know,
that's why I'm offering it right. I'm offering it now. So if you apply empathy to that.
Morris, no, I love you. I got none of that. You're just like, yep.
No. It's over.
Yes, self-hate, great. Well, okay.
I'm still stoned.
Part of empathy is making people feel comfortable, right?
I think so. I think that's one of the goals.
I've been farting this whole time, so I sound pretty comfortable.
That's cool. So I have a metal song.
Retreat all visibly. My
From our sponsor,
Final Corp.
Hey mom, what's for dinner?
Well, I was thinking of making some gelled meat casserole.
But we had that for breakfast.
Well, how about a nice big stack of salt pancakes with melted gummy bear sauce?
But we had that for lunch today at school.
Okay, honey. How about a couple of bowls of mayonnaise ice cream?
Cool. All right. Yippee. Can I have the poison ivy flavored ice cream?
You sure can.
And dirt fudge.
Yep.
Oh, mom, food's the best.
Final Corp. Finally, a corporation with only its best interests in mind.
So the Mister, you all know that the Mister has comes with his own application device, and what you do is you put the Mister on the end of your wee-hoo, and you take this device, and then you clamp it on kind of like you would a bottle capper on a beer bottle, kind of.
I put those on my dick all the time.
Cinch it on.
It's kind of like
you kind of clamp it. A clamp.
But then when you're out and about,
clamping.
When you urinate, it comes out as a mist. So that
how
way.
Convenient.
I know. How convenient.
You want to be able to let that spray get to as many people as you can.
Think about when you're golfing. How convenient would that be?
If
you
could just stand on the side. I know, everyone's going to be misting urine fucking while they're golfing. It's part of the fucking game. It's part of the tradition. It's part of what we do.
You're just standing there misting because your pants are zipped up because the zipper's connected to the pants.
Just be upwind.
Because we have the fartler pants also.
Duh.
Check it out.
What would you do
so the mister goes with the fartler. The fartler, what it does is when you fart, what does it do?
It neutralizes the methane gas so the fart doesn't
smell.
Dude,
wars would be ended if everyone just got one of those.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like there would
so
be
you're
no
misting in your fartler. So like you really kind of, you know, reduce your threat presence.
Your green footprint or whatever.
Your footprint is reduced.
Your methane footprint.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, guys, save the world. Let's get these.
It's like a catalytic converter for your butt.
I have a very small fart footprint.
Really, I have a giant one. It smells really bad. It's actually probably about 50% of the reason we're actually having climate change.
It's because of your farts.
It's about because of one of my farts. It was a beast. There was one for the record books.
There was this one. I'm still farting.
It's like the fish story, man.
That's why there's no food in Ethiopia right now. Basically.
I've been farting continuously for the past 10 years. It's one continuous fart. It's just very low level.
Beautiful. That is beautiful.
It's true. It is true.
It's silent, too.
It's powerful. Silence is powerful, y'all. Just remember that.
And we're back with Lars Diaz.
This is a hardcore side project I've been doing. Recorded this at my place. This is not like a professional studio, so keep that in mind. This hasn't been released. This is like the first time
I'm excited to hear it.
Anyone will be hearing it outside of like our band and friends. So, yeah, check it out.
Cool.
Here we go.
You can just play it. Yeah.
I can just play it. Okay. So it's just a little blurb of some new stuff with our new vocalist.
Yeah. Lewis.
That's a new tune?
That is a new
new-ish
tune. It's not even finished. That was just, you know, something so you guys can hear the vocalist really quick. Because he's a mysterious man. Just mysterious.
Lars, thanks for stopping by, man.
And thank you guys for being high.
Keep it empathetic, folks.
Keep it empathetic.
I like that final chord thing.